Hello and welcome to the Run the Day podcast. I'm your host, Nick Simmons. With me as always is Cam. Cam, how are you?
I'm great. I think this was the best one yet.
We say that after everyone, but this one actually is. No, Ben is, he's just, you know,
next
he says,
level.
He's next level. He says he had to grow up fast. And man, when you guys hear his story, my heart goes out to him as a kid. He went through some really incredibly challenging times, but he took this idea from his mom that passed away to wake up each day and win that day's fight and inspire others around you as you fight your own battles. And he really carried that with him through life. Mm-hmm. And here at the age of 40, he's inspiring so many people with that message.
Yeah, he's the perfect person that exemplifies what it is to run the day.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Maximizing every
single
day.
He loved our show title.
And I love the way he tied that in.
Yeah.
But I love what he said too. Identify what you're doing and make it not about the results. Don't let it identify who you are and make it into who you are. I think so many times we can think results reflect who we are. Instead, it's about the process, which is so much what we talk
process
about.
Process before results. And this guy gets it. Guys, I think you're really going to enjoy this one. We mentioned it in the show, but he is just internationally famous for his ability to inspire audiences, both on and off the field. So whether you're an athlete, whether you're a business person, I think everybody can really learn something from this one. So
I
without further ado, here he is, Ben Newman. All right, here he is coming to us from St. Louis, Missouri. It's Ben Newman. Ben, how are you?
Nick, I am doing great and couldn't be any more excited to be with you and Cam and all your listeners.
We're excited. This is one I've been looking forward to for a long time. You are just a man of many talents. And where do we even start? Performance coach, keynote speaker, best-selling author. The list goes on and on. How would you introduce yourself?
I would introduce myself as an old soul, a guy who's humble, hungry, works hard every day, and doesn't define himself by his results. And every time you have opportunities like this, people always want to highlight all the positive stuff. But the reality is, it's the times I've been knocked down. I've been shaken to the core personally and professionally. And that's what gives me the opportunity to join you guys. It's the struggle and the pain where I've been able to develop my strength, not the great things that have happened. Those are a byproduct of continuing to fight when you don't want to.
I love it. Mm. Ben, you're a breath of fresh air. Every single person that comes on the show, I always say, hey, let's make sure we give back to our guests. What can we plug? Ben's the first person that said, you know, I'm not here to push products. I'm just here to, you know, motivate and inspire. And that's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
you know, you're very authentic and you really do, you know, practice what you preach. You're trying to truly help people and you're helping so many people, so many lives that you're touching on the field, off the field. Where did this come from? Have you always been a very altruistic person? You know, would you say you were more selfish, more egotistical when you were young? How did this transition, you know, being knocked down, how did it build who you are today?
Yeah, so I love it. So many of my mentors, coaches, I mentioned there that term old soul, and I had to really grow up fast. And as a result of growing up fast, I developed a lot of anger. I didn't know how to control my emotions. And many people would hear my story and I'll share it and they'd say, well, of course you didn't know how to control your emotions. But I was always blessed to have those mentors and coaches who were there for me to make sure that I stayed on the right path, to make sure that I understood what great decisions and choices look like, so that I would understand what hard work looks like. Because we all have a story. And as I share my story, I want everybody to know, I recognize I am not the only individual that has a story. We each have a story that's allowed us to find that strength, or I like to call it that burn that lies inside of you, to show up differently than you would have if we don't connect to that burn, which is, it's the burn that lights that purpose and that why on fire. Without that burn, I don't think we can show up to compete or to work at our highest possible level. And for me, I had to grow up fast, parents divorced at 6 months old. My mother, single mom, fighting to make ends meet, was diagnosed with a rare muscle disease called amyloidosis. And each and every single one of us in those Olympic muscles of yours, Nick, even though you say it was a long time ago, you've got amyloids. Cam, you've got amyloids. Mm-hmm. I've got them. All the listeners, we all have amyloids. And if you have an excess of amyloids, you have a disease called amyloidosis. At the time of her diagnosis, two hospitals in the United States treating the disease, the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota and the Boston Medical Center. And my mom goes to Boston, meets with a woman by the name of Dr. Skinner, who told my mother, Janet, you are only the second woman under 40 years old that we've ever seen or heard of having amyloidosis.
Wow.
And they gave my mother 2 to 4 years to live.
Wow.
I was 5 years old at the time, my brother almost 8 years old. And here my mother is literally, there is no cure. We don't know how many days you will live. And I think for all of us, when we face challenge and adversity, that's when you really have to determine the fight that you're willing to fight. and the mindset that you're willing to take to that fight. And my mother is just an extraordinary champion of life. She took out an old blue Mead notebook that I now keep in my safe at home. And in that notebook, she would write, beat the statistics, beat the odds, live with the disease that is chronic and fatal, believe in yourself, combat anything, purpose in life.
Wow.
And even when my mother had 24-hour nursing care in our home, her last year living, she would come to the dinner table every single night without fail because that burn and that purpose was so significant. She was a teacher that she'd put one foot in front of the other with an IV stand, one or two nurses come to that dinner table and literally ask me how my day was at school. And my mother taught me we can all fight through anything. And I think that's what we have to determine in our lives is when we face the challenge, when we face the adversity, how are we going to show up? And even though my mother passed the pen of that journal to my brother and I on November 2nd, 1986, I love opportunities like this because maybe I can have the opportunity to inspire somebody to dig a little deeper to their burn, to write a more significant story, to fight through their pain. And so I'm just appreciative of your ears. I know a lot of people, this probably isn't what they expected, but it's my life and it's where I learned how to fight.
Well, and I think it does give us some perspective, right? We're all worried about our own issues, you know, and it's, I want to make more money or I want to be faster or I want this and that. It's like, those are all good goals and we got to have that fight truly. Yeah. But let's talk about fights that really matter. I mean, fighting for your life, fighting to be in your kids' lives, you know, as many days as possible. It really does help put it all in perspective. That must have affected you and your brother significantly though, at such a young age, not only just seeing how tough your mom is, how hard she can fight, but just the struggles that humans go through. And some of us don't have to deal with those things, you know, until later on in life. Some of us have to deal with it when we're five. How do you think that ultimately affected you?
As I mentioned, you know, it first came out in anger, right? It was a fight against the world. You know, 11 days before my eighth birthday is when my mother passed. You're thinking, how does a mom get taken from her son this young? Yeah. So it was just anger. I don't know how to behave. I don't know how to really speak about it. You don't know how to show emotion around it. And so there was a tremendous amount of anger. And literally from that second grade year, I mean, I was just always blessed to have these people who just poured into me and loved on me and cared on me and taught me how to get through that fight. And because I learned to get through things positively, even though it didn't show up positive all the time, I learned over time that it was a choice to show up and be positive. It was a choice to show up and honor my mom. And that's what I fight to do every single day. And I still deal with it every day. I mean, I'm a very emotional guy. I mean, I cry when I watch Extreme Home Makeovers. So I'm about as emotional as they get. So I'm still dealing with the pain of losing my mom, but I've contained it. And now I try to help people fight their fight. And then that's part of how I contain it.
I think that's wonderful. But that couldn't have been, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you today, Ben?
I'm 40.
40. That couldn't have been you at eight, right? So you have this anger burning inside of you. How do you deal with that and go through the teenage years and the years that are already filled with a lot of angst and frustration, having been dealt this unfair card? How do you come out the back end? And what does that look like as a young professional? What are you throwing yourself into early on?
Well, what ended up happening was I realized when these individuals, teachers, coaches, they put their arm around you, teach you what love was about, right? Mm-hmm. Teach you what it means to contain that energy and maybe you contained it on the court, just the love on you. I mean, I had a sixth grade teacher. I'm actually going to be speaking to a school district in Hawley, Minnesota next week. And the entire school district, I'm going to tell so many of these stories of how teachers impacted me. A sixth grade teacher who, when I showed up in sixth grade, I was on the citizenship watch list. It was like, this kid does not know how to behave. By the end of my sixth grade year, I was on the citizenship honor roll. And this man just literally taught me that I was a good person. Yeah. And after that, I had great coaches. I had a father who fought through tremendous adversity and challenge, who's been an example for me as well, who came back in to raise my brother and I, that you can fight through challenges in life. I had two high school basketball coaches that are now characters in books that I write. That's how much these men have meant to me. And here, they're retired now, and they're still my buddies.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just, I was blessed to have all these individuals help me understand what it means to work hard and what it means to reframe. And that's to focus on solutions rather than problems. We can all continue to focus on the negative things or we can choose to be positive. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you can't have both. You get to choose and you can only choose one.
My sports psychologist used to say we need to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what you've got clearly. You didn't wallow in your own misery. Why was I dealt this card so unfair? You looked around and you say, I'm actually blessed with a lot of really incredible people around me. And I think we can all take a lesson from that every single day. We can wake up and look at the mess around us or look at all the incredible things that we have around us. And we've spoken with a lot of people that talk about having a gratitude journal and just mm-hmm. how important it is to start your day on the right foot, being grateful for that which you do have. And we as Americans, of course, are very, very blessed in that sense.
So I'll share. So I love what you just said. And a lot of times, Nick, people, they hear, a gratitude journal. And it's so easy to dismiss.
Yeah.
Something like that, and to just keep doing what you're doing. Wake up, feet hit the floor.
Yeah, go through the motions.
Coffee. Yeah, start thinking about how tough yesterday was.
This Nick and Ben guy, they're just all, fluff, gratitude, come on.
Yeah, what's wrong with these guys have so many screws loose. What's wrong with these guys? And we have a YouTube show called The Burn. And as a result of the show title and people really connecting to this concept of this burn that lies within, about 2 months ago, I issued a burn challenge, and this is all it was. It was literally for 30 days, wake up, take out a journal, and have your alarm clock, the title, you can change the title on your alarm clock if you use your phone, have the title be whatever your burn is. So mine was my mother's name and the word legacy, and you take out your journal, and for 30 straight days, you just write day one and you write that burn. So mine literally said Janet Fishman Newman legacy. And then I put the word unrequired, which we can talk about the meaning of that later, because I feel that's a difference maker for people. And that was it for 30 straight days. People were messaging me like, what is this? Almost like it was negative. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And even though I've connected to my purpose, because I learned it in my life, I've connected to my purpose statement every single day since February of 2004, literally every single day. And I've done that. So I know what it means to consistently show up and connect to your purpose and your burn. And just trying to get people to realize it's not that difficult. It's actually simple, but you have to choose to change the behavior. And a lot of times people hear gratitude. They hear, oh, that's too simple. That doesn't make sense. I just encourage you, because I've got a big heart. If you're listening and you've dismissed these things, Nick and Cam and I, we can't see you dismissing it right now, but give yourself permission to accept it.
Yeah.
Because that's why I come on. I don't come on here to sell books. I come on here because I want you guys to choose something that's going to cause you to show up differently in your life.
Yeah. Well, and we're not selling you a $100 program or, some subscription. We're
saying
literally just grab a piece of paper and write something
down. Three things you're grateful for.
Yeah. It takes no time. It's such an easy hack. Mm-hmm. Ben, where did you learn all this? What was life like when you first graduated? Did you go to school?
Yeah, I did. I went to school at Michigan State University.
Sure.
And I laughed when you said, where did I learn all this?
Yeah.
Because
you didn't learn
in
school.
No, seriously, I didn't.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I went to 4-year university. Cam did too. I don't think either of us are using our degree. Uh-huh. We learn on the streets, right? We learn talking to people. We learn interacting. We learn making calls. And I can tell you're very much a street smart person. But what was life like at Michigan State? What were you studying there?
Well, real quick, let me just mention from what you said, I went to Michigan State political science pre-law, right? And so I don't think I would have thought at 40 years old that I'd be a mental conditioning coach for the Alabama football program and consulting the Microsofts of the world, right?
Yeah.
That is not political science.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
So I've done nothing with the degree, but when I was in college, we took this family trip and my brother gave me the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
That's a great one.
And I'm not trying to be funny. At that point in time, I didn't even like to read. So like the thought of me ever writing a book, I didn't like to read. Much less write. And that was the first book that I really read as an adult. And it literally opened the door to this. And I don't say this to impress anybody. It's to impress upon the point. People can look at my resume and the things you guys have mentioned and the stuff you're going to put on the bio to get people to listen to this episode. But the reality is I still have two coaches and I'm on my 17th book of the year right now.
Wow.
So I am so far from understanding what it means for me to achieve peak performance that to be on this journey and to keep working to be your best, it's a challenge I'm willing to accept every day. And I love it.
Lifelong student, lifelong fighter. I mean, you have to be, right? There's just no way to get through life otherwise.
Well, I mean, the energy that you lose, and we've all had it. I've had periods of time. Of course I have. When I was a financial advisor, things were growing great. And that's how the opportunity to speak started for being an advisor. I had periods of time. The ego was big. The head is big. You're making paychecks and lots of money. You never thought you'd make that kind of money in your lifetime. And everything's great. You pull back from the habits and you're not reading books. You got it all figured out, right? And that's when you get smacked. And I remember I got smacked in 2010, and I'll never let that happen again, right? It was one of those, I got it figured out. And so ever since then, in 2010, the pain I had to go through in that year professionally, being knocked down like I never thought I would, it was very, very humbling. And now I'm just committed. I mean, I won't let that happen again. I check my ego. I try to stay humble and hungry and read and learn and get coached up and just try to be the best I can be.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened in 2010?
Yeah. So as a financial advisor, especially in the insurance industry, if I sell CAMA insurance policy, sometimes they pay you your commissions in advance. So I had had this amazing start to the year. I had these huge goals that would have put me like in the top 0.5% of financial advisors in the have the opportunity to be right there to hit these goals. I was actually ahead of schedule. And I call my wife, I'll never forget it. And I said, babe, I said, I am on fire. Things are going unbelievable. And first lesson, don't ever do that.
Yeah.
So just keep working hard every day. And it was almost like God sent this sign, like, young man, I'm going to show you who's in control here. And the next thing I knew, the next 6 months, it was like every time I sold something, somebody was canceling something.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
paying
oh,
commissions wow. back to the company.
Oh,
and,
no.
and my first paycheck in the last week of October was I was paying it back to the company. So not only was it negative, it
but
was the size
money.
Of a paycheck.
Yeah.
The size of a paycheck that a rookie NFL player makes. And I'm giving it back to the company. And then my first paycheck of November, right? So back-to-back paycheck, another one that is the size of a paycheck that some of the rookies I work with are making. So you're talking about, I got two kids at home. I've got to pay the bills. I'm paying money back in droves. Mm. And how am I going to get out from under this rock that is suffocating me?
Wow.
And I'll never forget, I had a call with one of my coaches at the time, and he's got a sports psychology background, and all of a sudden, he reconnected me back to the daily behavior. So for mm-hmm. anybody listening right now, if you're in that period of time where you feel like you have it figured out, or you feel like I'm in quicksand, I can't move forward, identify the period of time in your career, because this is what he did for me, the period of time where the results were not your main focus. The focus was, I'm going to show up and be the very best that I can be. Define and write down what those days look like and drive massive accountability to yourself. Light that burn every day, connect it to your purpose, and just focus on winning the day one day at a time by doing the things that have made you great in the past. And he encouraged me to do it that day. And it took a while. It took about a good 6 to 9 months to get out from under that rock and to build the momentum again. But thank goodness he was honest and transparent and direct with me so that I could figure out what those days looked like and to reconnect back to that burn to get out from it. And it was just a very, very eye-opening experience for me, painful experience, but I'm very grateful that it actually happened.
What did that look like, digging yourself out of that hole?
So it was 20 phone calls a day. So he literally said that you have to make on a daily basis to know that you've given it your all, and it was 20.
Wow.
And I call them points of contact. I do a lot of sales training. So mm-hmm. points of contact, text message, email, phone call. And so if you're training for a race, it's the number of miles you have to run on that day or the strength training you have to do in that day. So for me, it was the dials that I had to do that day. And if I did those dials, I could look in the mirror at the end of the day and say, today I gave it my very best. And even though there were still some smaller paychecks, by reconnecting back to the process, it's what caused me to end up remembering, like, I'm doing this to write the stories of the little guy just like me. That's why I came into this business. I want to help families. And that's what I was able to do, is to get back on track. And thank goodness we're able to one day at a time get out of it.
I love it. I love it. Process over results is something we talk about in sports a lot. And a little anecdotal story, I remember going into the 2012 Olympic season. I called my sports psychologist, and he reminds me a lot of you. You guys speak the same language. And I said, if I don't win an Olympic medal this year, I'll feel like I just wasted a year of my life. Like, that's all I think about. It's all I'm living for. And I just know that there's this catastrophic cliff if I don't win a medal. And he said, well, the easiest way to make sure you don't win a medal is by approaching the season with that mentality. And we spent the entire year every day saying process over results. Mm-hmm. Trust the process. Enjoy the process. And he's like, I don't care what you have to do each day to enjoy the day, whether that means having a cheeseburger or enjoying a beer at the end of the day, or even just blowing off a practice here and there. If you have to say, this is what I have to do to enjoy the process. He goes, I think you'll have more success if you enjoy the next 12 months leading into these games. I think you'll have more success, and I think you'll be happy, and you won't look back as a quote unquote wasted year. And of course, that ended up being my best season ever. I made the Olympic final, finished fifth, and it was a real true lesson to not just enjoy the process, because we need to enjoy each day of our life or aspire to have some satisfaction and pleasure in the process, but also that the results can come through that enjoyment. Mm. It was the first time I really realized that the process is more than just enjoyment. It's also part of the results.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You look at the title of your podcast, Run the Day, right? So yeah. it's a one day at a time opportunity. The title of your podcast isn't go win your medal, right? It's go win a championship.
There's a new medal every single day to go win if you're doing it right.
And see, that's the beauty of it. And that's where people, you know, it's another one of those moments where people say, come on, this doesn't win the day. Come on. Like, I'm here to win a championship. John Wooden, arguably one of the greatest coaches to ever coach anything. UCLA's basketball coach, won 10 championships in 12 years. Bill Walton, one of the legendary players who played for him, wrote a foreword of one of his books that I love. And in the foreword, he says, one of the greatest things about Coach is that he never spoke of wins and losses ever. The guy won 10 championships in 12 years. He never talked about winning a basketball game.
Wow.
And it's one of the things, he's one of the mentors in my life that I've ever met. And I've had the blessing of winning national championships with college football teams. I've had the blessing of working with individuals from the last three Super Bowl championship teams. You could get any of those individuals on the phone right now and say, how often does Ben tell you to go win the game? I've never done it, because I wanted to go find the example of what the best coaches did and help people learn to embrace what it truly means to win. Mm-hmm. And it's to run the day. It's to win the day. It's to own the opportunity that's in front of you. Not to create undue pressure and stress by trying to manage a result that's not even in your control.
When you're speaking with teams, sales teams or athletic teams, and maybe they've come from a culture that is so results oriented, how do you strip that down a little bit and slowly start integrating this idea of winning the day, of enjoying the process?
Well, it's one of those behind the scenes conversations to happen with a coach.
Right.
And that's one of those things where it really starts with the coach, because it's the manner in which he leads. And so a lot of times it's sharing, this is my belief system. This is what I'm going to share with your team. And a lot of times, if that coach isn't winning, it's kind of like that aha moment. We're preparing for the first opportunity for me to address their team. Maybe this guy's onto something. And a lot of times the coach just cut it loose, go do your thing. But I've also been blessed to partner with a lot of organizations where I'm really just affirming the message that Coach Saban in Alabama shares with the players anyway. He's a process-oriented guy. The reason why he's won so many national titles is because he doesn't hammer the win. He hammers the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, a lot of times it's just, you got to go to the coach first and then engage the players. And a lot of times I ask questions, you know, just asking a player or a coach, or for everybody listening, what does it look like for you to be your best every day? And let's say if it's a collegiate athlete, is asking that collegiate athlete, let's define that win, right? Mm-hmm. It's showing up to class. It's, what does your nutrition look like? Are you studying your playbook? Are you studying film? Are you doing the little things that are going to cause you to win?
Love it. All right. I've been sitting on this one for about 10 minutes now. Unrequired. It's a note I've got here, and you have to tell me a little bit more about that. You teased it just a bit ago. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in the context?
Yeah, so I always encourage individuals that we work with to identify the unrequired. We all know the little things that we're supposed to do, but it's the unrequired that truly makes you a champion to win on a different level every day. And the unrequired are the things that other people, they don't think about. They don't want to talk about it. They certainly aren't going to do it, that you choose to make a priority. And when you find those little things that become your edge, that's the unrequired. One of the things that I've said on social media for years, it's probably 6-7 years now, every Friday, champions create distance on Fridays. And part of me, that's part of that unrequired mindset. How many people show up on Friday, they give nothing, no focus, no energy to Friday because they can't wait for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, they're so disappointed that they didn't do what they're supposed to do at work. Mm-hmm. How about actually showing up, be a champion on Friday. Earn that weekend. And so what I try to do is help people embrace the opportunity to do that every day and to do the unrequired. That's where you create the separation. And so for all of your individuals that love fitness, so I'm currently in the midst. Today was my 25th day. So here's the example, the unrequired for fitness. So I announced on social media, it was a fitness challenge. So once again, we're not selling anything. This is free if you want to hop on and give it a try. So in addition to your regular workout, So in addition, I want everybody to hear this, in addition to your regular workout. So if today's a day off, you still do this. If today was a day where you run 3.5 miles, you would do this. If it's a lift day, you would do this. So the unrequired is 250 air squats straight, no stopping.
It's a quad killer.
A 4 minute reverse plank, hands under your butt, feet 6 inches above the ground, 4 straight minutes.
Wow.
Followed by you flip over 4 straight minutes of a regular plank, followed by 44 straight push-ups.
Who's doing this?
I'm on my 25th straight day.
Come on. And that's insane. That's a really impressive workout.
Well, you know what's fun is some of the strength coaches that I work with at different football programs, I've put them through it. And that's the affirmation for me.
Yeah, they're looking at you like, serious?
I love learning from people like that, but to really challenge them now has been pretty cool. And people have been posting it on their social media, and it's been a blast.
That's cool.
But can't hurt me. And I realized in reading Goggins' book that this unrequired really was the difference. Mm-hmm. And I am not going to be David Goggins, right? I don't want to go run an ultra marathon. But seeing how hard he pushed himself made me realize I don't have to be him, but how can I push myself differently?
Yeah.
So even if somebody just heard what I shared is what I call the unrequired workout, you may think I'm crazy for doing it, but let's not choose to do nothing. Maybe your unrequired is I'm going to run 1 mile every day for 30 days. So identify something that challenges you. And when you do that, you test and stretch your capacity in your mind, and you're going to end up becoming focused in so many other areas of your life. And that's the breakthrough.
It's something we touch a lot here on the show is just how fitness can be the glue that holds your entire life together. I always say the first thing I do when I wake up is I go work out. And it's not that I'm training for anything in particular. It's just that I know my energy levels are better. I know that I'll think clear. Yeah. It truly is the glue that holds everything else together. And I think that it's such an easy way to begin to readdress your life, your energy levels, how you think, just everything. And it doesn't have to be, some people are intimidated. They think they have to go do this insane workout. Just going out and going for a 30-minute walk like Cam likes to do.
Yep.
It just sets your day on the right foot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I think identifying what works for you, you know,
for everybody, it's different. You don't have to run. You don't have to lift. You just have to find
exactly
30 minutes or so, I think is the number that physiologists identify. Yep. 30 minutes of some sort of exercise to jumpstart your day or to wind down your day. It's like a magic pill, they say. It's the best medicine you could possibly take for your brain, for your body. So Ben, you're definitely onto something here. Although I think you're taking it one step farther. I'm going to go on your social and check out these challenges because that is.
Yeah, you need to be doing them.
Like I'm addicted to working out, and that sounds super tough.
So go to my story.
Okay.
So it's on my story. You'll see day 25, and you can take a screenshot that lists what the unrequired is. And I think you would love it. It's a tremendous challenge. And it's super, super difficult. It takes about 15 minutes. And once you do this and then you do the regular workout, it's almost like an instant breakthrough because it's one of those things like there's no way I can do it. And then you do it and then you do your regular workout and you're like, okay, I get it. Like I can give more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always more to give. You just whether you want to push yourself to that limit, right?
Yeah, finding that.
They say
you.
We got a lot of runners listening. They say that when you finish a marathon, and many of our listeners know what that feeling's like. They say as depleted as you are, as totally gassed and spent, you can't even imagine putting one foot in front of the other. You're probably only about 30% or 40% depleted from what your body can actually do,
which is just crazy.
Which is hard to imagine, right? You see people just collapsing. It's like, no, if you really had to, if it was a life or death situation, you haven't even scratched the surface of what your body's capable of. So it's a great way to dig deep and to continue to push into that unrequired, you know, space. And I think you're onto something here, Ben. You mentioned.
Let me tell you real quick. I did run one marathon and I finished it. And I was a basketball player, so I'm 6'2". Now I weigh about 210 pounds in shape. So it's a relatively bigger body to carry.
Yeah.
And I thought my ankles were going to fall off and I was never going to be able to use them again. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Which one did you run?
The St. Louis, Go St. Louis.
So cool.
Right in your backyard. You mentioned on your stories, you are on Instagram @ Continued Fight. I want to make sure everyone finds you there. Would you say that's your most active platform?
Yeah. Instagram is by far and away the most active. You know, there's Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is @ Continued Fight as well, but those two are probably the most active.
And there's also your website, bennewman.net.
Correct.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to check it out. I'm going to go stalk you on Instagram and figure out how I'm going to get through, 250 air squats? You lost me there. Already my quads are killing.
And then the 4 minute plank.
Yeah, I'm not great at the plank. So this will be interesting. This will be fun.
Listen, you're a former Olympian. You're going to get right through this and you're going to say it sounded tough, but I did it. There is no doubt in my mind.
Ben, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Keep inspiring everybody. And you're, like I say, you're really onto something. I want to say, you know, you said you grew up fast. Well, we're all very fortunate, as tough as that was, that it obviously left something in you that wanted to continue to pass on your mom's legacy, to continue to inspire. And it's exactly what you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing your message with us.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'd like to leave you guys with the greatest life lesson I ever learned. It came from my mom, and that lesson is, it's not how long you live, it's how you choose to live your life. So I appreciate the opportunity to be with all of you, and let's keep fighting the good fight together.
Love it,
Ben. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
A big thank you to everyone for joining us on that episode. If you want to find out more or listen to other episodes, go to rungum.com/podcast. Also, please make sure to subscribe on iTunes or your preferred player. I'm Nick Simmons, and you've been listening to the Run the Day podcast. Until next time.